By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, this morning you are watching Rise and Shine, mashallah azzajal. We do listen to the recitation of the Quran. Let's mashallah azzajal begin by listening to the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
يحلفون لكم لترضوا عنهم فإن ترضوا عنهم فإن الله لا يرضى عن القوم الفاسقين.
تمہارے آگے قسمیں کھاتے ہیں کہ تم ان سے راضی ہو جاؤ تو اگر تم ان سے راضی ہو جاؤ تو بے شک اللہ تو فاسق لوگوں سے راضی نہ ہوگا.
الاعراب اشد کفرا ونفاقا واجدر ان لا يعلموا حدود ما انزل الله على رسوله والله علیم حکیم.
گوار کفر اور نفاق میں زیادہ سخت ہیں اور اسی قابل ہیں کہ اللہ نے جو حکم اپنے رسول پر اتارے اس سے جاہل رہیں اور اللہ علم و حکمت والا ہے.
وَمِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مَا يُنْفِقُ مَغْرَمًا وَيَتَرَبَّسُ بِكُمُ الدَّوَائِبِ عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِرَةُ واللہ سمیع علیم.
اور کچھ گوار وہ ہیں کہ جو اللہ کی راہ میں خرچ کرے تو اسے تاوان سمجھیں اور تم پر گردشیں یعنی مصائب آنے کے انتظار میں رہیں، انہی پر ہے بری گردش اور اللہ سنتا جانتا ہے.
وَمِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَيَتَّخِذُ مَا يُنْفِقُ قُرُبَاتٍ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَصَلَوَاتِ الرَّسُولِ.
اور کچھ گاؤں والے وہ ہیں جو اللہ اور قیامت پر ایمان رکھتے ہیں اور جو خرچ کریں اسے اللہ کی نزدیکیوں اور رسول سے دعائیں لینے کا ذریعہ سمجھیں.
قربة لهم سيدخلهم الله في رحمته إن الله غفور رحيم.
ہاں ہاں وہ ان کے لیے باعث قرب ہے، اللہ جلد انہیں اپنی رحمت میں داخل کرے گا، بے شک اللہ بخشنے والا مہربان ہے.
والسابقون الاولون من المهاجرين والانصار والذين اتبعوهم باحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه واعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم.
اور سب اگلے پہلے مہاجر اور انصار اور جو بھلائی کے ساتھ ان کے پیرو یعنی پیروی کرنے والے ہوئے، اللہ ان سے راضی، اور وہ اللہ سے راضی، اور ان کے لیے تیار کر رکھے ہیں باغ جن کے نیچے نہریں بہیں، ہمیشہ ہمیشہ ان میں رہیں، یہی بڑی کامیابی ہے۔
وَمِمَّنْ حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مُنَافِقُونَ وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ مَرَضُوا عَلَى النِّفَاقِ لَا تَعْلَمُهُمْ نَحْنُ نَعْلَمُهُمْ سَنُعَذِّبُهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنِ ثُمَّ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَى عَذَابٍ عَظِيمٍ۔
اور تمہارے آس پاس کے کچھ گوار منافق ہیں اور کچھ مدینہ والے، ان کی خو یعنی عادت ہو گئی ہے نفاق، تم انہیں نہیں جانتے، ہم انہیں جانتے ہیں، جلد ہم انہیں دو بار عذاب کریں گے، پھر بڑے عذاب کی طرف پھیرے جائیں گے۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم۔ ریویوز آف مدنی چینل، ماشاءاللہ عز وجل، we've just been listening to some verses of Surah At-Tawbah. Alhamdulillah, Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th chapter of the glorious Quran. Now, something to think about, my dear viewers. Some people will be thinking, it's taking so long. Again, I'm going on to something else, but it's really important that this is a problem we have, because we wish to achieve everything so quickly. And this is one of the reasons for failure too, in fact, by most or so many people, maybe even most, when they do begin something, they never complete it. When they begin something, many a time, what happens is we wish to see fast and quick results. Whether it's, you know, even general things, let's just say exercise. A person will start, he will start to exercise, he will start training. But he wishes to, well, what example should we take? Whether it's weights, he wishes to lift 100 kg so quickly. Whether it's some sort of, you know, other things. It may be other forms of exercise. Maybe running. The thing, you know, I want to get to 5 to 10 kilometers. Why is it that I can't do it? It's been a few weeks now. This is a problem we face. Even if we were to look at, let's just say, take a grasping a language, you'll think, well, look, it's been some weeks now. We're still, when somebody's speaking, or let's just say Arabic, this person is speaking in Arabic and I still don't understand. I've been studying Arabic for the past few weeks. My dear viewers, the one of the greatest, weight loss, another huge one. You think, this is what I've been doing, and look, it's been a full month now I've been controlling my diet, but I've still not lost enough weight. There's so many examples. Allahu Akbar. What happens is we are looking for fast, and this is said is a problem with millennials. Millennials, those who were born 1985 or later, they are known as, they're like the new generation. They're known as the millennials, my dear viewers. This is a problem they face even more, because everything we wish to have so quick, we're used to having things quickly. Food, you'll order, a minute later you'll be given, and yes, many times, depending on how busy a shop is, it'll only just take a few minutes, fast food. That's why they even call it fast food. It's so quick, everything we wish, cars, fast, whatever it is, fast. We wish to attain and to see the results so quickly. This is a problem we are facing. Because if we don't see the result very, very quickly, then we don't want to believe it. Then we think, oh no, maybe I'm just wasting my time. This is not working for me. No, you have not given it time. This is the problem. Tell me, how old are you? If you are to be 20 years of age, 30 years of age, 40 years of age, how many times have you recited the Quran? The last year, the full year, 2 years, let's just say 2 years, because maybe it'll take us about 2 years to complete the Quran. So the last 2 years, have you completed the Quran? No. Why? How many times did you intend? You probably intended. Oh yes, inshallah, this is Ramadan. Most of the time it's due to the month of Ramadan. Then inshallah, during the month of Ramadan, I'm going to complete the Quran. Maybe the first day you read it, maybe even the second day or the third day, but then that's it. Maybe the first week, but then you stopped. This is our problem. We can't be steadfast in things. We begin things, but never complete them. nomadic views. Really, and this is something I've learned more recently. And alhamdulillah, I no longer think of quick targets. I like to take my time with things now. Alhamdulillah, this is something which has changed this perspective, but that's something which is personal, subhanAllah. But yeah, it has taught me personally that don't try to achieve things very quickly. Sometimes it feels so bad. Sometimes a person feels really, really bad. Of, look, I've been trying so much, but I want to get to that level. And that's a person who's been doing something his entire life. And you think within 1 year, half a year, you're going to attain that level? It's never going to work. But then you realize, as you continue, let's take the example of learning Arabic. You realize that as you continue, you think, I still don't know as much as I wanted to. But then you have a conversation with someone, they think, oh wow, you know, you're actually doing really well. You think, no, I still can't. How long have you been doing it? There was one person, he was working at a place, he had a new job, he was working at a place for about 6 or so months. And remember, it said 50% or so of people are not happy with the job they are at. They're not happy with the job they're at. So this one person who was interviewed, how are you finding your job? How are things? He says, I'm not happy. He says, why are you not happy? He says, I wanted to change so many things. I wanted to do so many things, and I'm not able to do it. He says, how long have you been working at it? He says, I've been working at it 6 months now. He says, do you expect to change the world in 6 months? It doesn't work like that, my dear viewers. Things happen slowly. They happen over time. Planning is required. Planning is required. And sometimes you don't even notice the improvement you are making. Sometimes you don't notice. Why? Because you're always looking ahead. People, look how huge they are. You forget about those people who are behind you. We forget whenever we think of, take another example of money. Whenever we think of, you know, first it's just hand to mouth. We're earning. We are saving very, very little. We are spending so much. You know, we've not been able to save much. Why? Because we're not earning enough. Then you are earning more. You still think, I'm not earning enough. Look at this person, he's earning so much. Then you earn more. No matter how big you get, you're always looking above. You forget about, look at these people who are behind me. They're earning very little. They're still happy. They're still satisfied. It doesn't mean you can't earn a lot, no. It's just wishing for quick results. This is a problem we are facing, my dear viewers. And this is also one of the reasons why people go into drugs. Buying and selling drugs and all sorts of problems we are facing. Because we wish to have, to earn things, to gain things, gain results very, very quickly. Although how much time do we have? Alhamdulillah, we have enough time. If you are going to wish, we're coming back to the Quran. If you wish to recite the entire glorious Quran or to listen to the entire glorious Quran, then this is not going to happen. Okay, even within a month, it's not going to happen. You're not used to it. You've not built up a habit to regularly recite the glorious Quran. So you won't be able to do it. No problem. Take a year, take 2 years. Read a little bit every day. This is all you need. Because at least after 2 years, you will have completed it. And this is coming back to the point I was making. That, yes, we are only listening to a little amount. But alhamdulillah, even if it takes 2 years, alhamdulillah, even after 2 years, we have listened to the entire Quran, as well as the translation of the Quran, which otherwise we would have never been able to do. But if you were the Madani channel, mashallah, we have listened to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. Let's now move on to the Na'at Sharif of the greatest of all mankind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Aapki nisbat anana-e Hussain hai badi daulat anana-e Hussain dur kar furqat anana-e Hussain apni de qurbat anana-e Hussain آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین ہے بڑی دولت اے نانا اے حسین
یا نبی میرے آقا یا نبی میرے آقا یا نبی میرے آقا یا نبی یا نبی غم تمہارا چین لے لے گی نہ دے
دے دو یہ راحت اے نانا اے حسین اب مدینے میں بلا کر دور کر فرقت اے نانا اے حسین آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین ہے بڑی دولت اے نانا اے حسین دور کر فرقت اے نانا اے حسین اپنی دے قربت اے نانا اے حسین
میں مدینے کا مسافر اب بنوں
کیجئے رحمت اے نانا اے حسین چل مدینہ کی بشارت دیجئے کیجئے رحمت اے نانا اے حسین آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین ہے بڑی دولت اے نانا اے حسین آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین میرے آقا یا نبی میرے آقا یا آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین ہے بڑی دولت اے نانا اے حسین
اپنا غم اور چشم نم دے دیجئے
کیجئے رحمت اے نانا اے حسین عشق میں آہے ضرور و تار ہوں کیجئے رحمت اے نانا اے حسین آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین ہے بڑی دولت اے نانا اے حسین دور کر فرقت اے نانا اے حسین اپنی دے قربت اے نانا اے حسین
یا رسول اللہ ہی انظر حالنا
یا حبیب اللہ
اسمع قالنا
إنني في بحر هم مغرق
خذ يدي ساهلنا إشكالنا
اپنے جلبوں سے عطا فرمائیے نجعہ میں راحت اے نانا اے حسین تو بقیے پاک میں دو گز زمین تم پہ تربت اے نانا اے حسین آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین ہے بڑی دولت اے نانا اے حسین دور کر فرقت اے نانا اے حسین اپنی دے قربت اے نانا اے حسین
دعوت اسلامی والوں پر صدا
کیجئے رحمت اے نانا اے حسین ہر ولی کا واسطہ تار پر کیجئے رحمت اے نانا اے حسین آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین ہے بڑی دولت اے نانا اے حسین دور کر فرقت اے نانا اے حسین اپنی دے قربت اے نانا اے حسین آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین ہے بڑی دولت اے نانا اے حسین
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Many viewers of the channel, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. MashaAllah, today we have our guest joining us in studio today, Hafiz Rifaqat Sahib. Welcome, by the way, MashaAllah, may Allah Ta'ala bless you. Barakallahu
fi kum. Hafiz
Sahib, we have, Alhamdulillah, within history, there are so many great individuals who have passed, who have left this world for the eternal abode. And Alhamdulillah, within the, yes, we can say the practices of Islam. It's within our practice. And we learn this from the traditions, from the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, he saw that the some of the followers, the so-called followers of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they would fast on the 10th, the day of Ashura, famous. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked them, so why are they fasting on this day? And they say, because Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was saved from the Fir'aun on this day. So out of thankfulness we fast. And the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that we have more of a right over Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, so we'll fast on this day too. So this is an historical event. This is just one example which comes to mind. A historical event, my dear viewers of the new channel. You know, when was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? How long ago was Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? They were not during the same time. So it's something which took place way before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But due to the importance of this day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered the Muslims to fast.
Subhanallah.
Yes, he ordered the Muslims to fast. So the Muslims would fast on that day. The day of Jumu'ah. Why is it so important? Because Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was born on this day. He was created on this day. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam passed away on this day. So this day holds a significance. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, the day when somebody is born, the day when somebody passes away, you know, the day a great event takes place, those are days to be remembered. And we have our topic today too, my dear viewers, breaking relationships. So there's so much to be speaking about today. We are going to go to a reminder, inshallah, inshallah. And then we shall continue. My dear viewers, the reminder, Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Three blessed sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam about finding faults in others. You know, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is the perfect example for us. He is a role model for us. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is a personality of the best character. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is a personality whom Muslims look up to. His eating, his teaching, his drinking, his sitting, his standing, each and everything is actually an example for us. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam lived a life and set it as an example for us to follow. So, looking at the advices of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, three great advices of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam about finding faults in people, that what sort of a discouraged act it is. Allahu Akbar, the Prophet of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, the person who discloses the faults of a Muslim in this world, the person who lets out the secrets, the person who reveals out the hidden faults of a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal that person's faults up to this extent that that person will be humiliated in his own home. Allahu Akbar. Another narration about the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who removes the difficulty from a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall remove a difficulty from him. And the person who conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall conceal that person's faults. Allahu Akbar, help a person, Allah will help you. Remove a difficulty, Allah will remove your difficulties, inshallah. In fact, another wonderful hadith, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, the person who conceals and hides the faults of a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall grant him entry into paradise. Subhanallah azza wa jal. It may sometimes be hard upon our inner selves. Right? If we have found a fault in someone, we can't, you know, just relax and, you know, sit down. We want to let it out to someone. You know what happened? You know this happened? You know that happened? No. If we just make sabr, what have we got to lose? We just have to lose a bit on the aspect of temporary fun. But what do we get in return? We attain Jannah in return. We attain the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah shall hide our faults. We are, you know, sinners. Imagine if our faults are disclosed on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall hide our faults. We make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us, you know, among those people who have respect on the day of judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the shade of his throne on the day of judgment. These few sacrifices in this life shall turn out to be of great means for us on the day of judgment.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. And viewers, Alhamdulillah, you are watching Rise and Shine, MashaAllah Azza wa Jal. Hafiz al-Fakir Sahib has his green tea with biscuits.
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Hafiz Sahib commented today's topic. Today's topic, breaking relationships. Now, people can take this in many different ways. Breaking relationships. What did you say, Hafiz Sahib? 101 ways to break relationships? Allahu Akbar.
That's what people will talk about today, because that's the kind of environment we're living in. You know,
it's true, yeah.
Yeah.
People do speak about such things as ways how to break room. Mazallah, Allahu Akbar. But we can take this any way we want. Well, not really any way, but we can take this as, yes, breaking relationships with those we should not be having relationships with.
Gee.
And maintaining or building on those relationships which we should be maintaining. Hafsab, there are some individuals we must
break relationships with. You.
Break relationships with. Others we must maintain ties with.
Yes.
Amongst, for some reason, it's one of my most favorite. Do you have a favorite hadith sharif?
I can't think of any at the moment, to be honest with you.
Yes. I don't know why though. Honestly, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But alhamdulillah, every hadith sharif is beautiful in some way. I'm not saying this is my favorite, but I love this hadith sharif. Narrated by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Salam. And why? Because what does the Prophet ﷺ say? He says, spread salam, spread peace. Another is, and feed people. And maintain or build ties and relationships. With Zawil Arham, Zawil Qurba. Within the glorious Quran, we've been ordered about the Zul Qurba. That we must, Zul Qurba, Zul Arham, same. Our relatives, we must maintain our ties with our relatives. So who are the closest to us? First, our parents. Wabil walidaini ihsan. First, my dear viewers, with the parents. They are the closest to us.
Subhanallah.
Even before our brothers and sisters. How are we linked to our brothers and sisters?
Through the parents.
Through the parents. This is the link, isn't it, to our brothers and sisters. So first, my dear viewers, the parents. We must, it's said, even if you are abroad, your parents call you, you must attend to them. Hafsab, where should we begin? With the parents?
You know, with the parents, alhamdulillah, you just mentioned a very famous verse of the Quran, وَبِالْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانُ, or part of the verse. It starts from وَقَدَى رَبُّكَ لَا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانُ. And then he talks about the manners and etiquettes. إِمَّا يَبْلُغُنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُل لَّهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And it carries on. And it tells you the manners and the etiquettes, how we should be talking to our parents. You know, when they get old, how you should be treating them, how you should be taking care of them. Just imagine that you are taking care of your own children. That's how you need to take care of your parents when they get to that age. Just like children, when they are young, they'll probably argue with you. They don't want to eat this. They don't want to eat that. Maybe your parents will do the same as well. And just like your children can't wear the clothes, you know, without you when they are really young, in the same way, when your parents are getting older, they might not be able to put their clothes on without your help.
There's something we can't misunderstand from this house. There's a big problem we face. Is that, yes, like the children, but remember they're not your children.
Bilkul.
Because one problem we do face, sorry to
That's fine.
Interject, because one problem we do face, yes, they do all these things, but sometimes the way they treat them or the way they speak to them is as if they are, the way you're telling them.
I've come across this. I was sat in someone's house and the way they were talking to their dad, and I felt really sad, and I thought, inshallah, I'm going to do the islah later on as well. And I did talk to him on the side, before I left, and I goes, if you don't mind, can I have a word with you? And because I thought it's an obligation upon me, to tell these people. And they're not bad. They were good people. They looked after their parents very good. But just that part that I didn't like. So I took him on side and I goes, look, don't talk to your dad or your mom like this, because end of the day, they are old now and they need your love and your passion. Exactly. Treat them like your children, but like you said rightly, don't treat them as your children.
Yeah.
So alhamdulillah, Azzawajal, I did find a beautiful, answer from him, and he goes, look, Afsa, we're really sorry. We love our dad, alhamdulillah, and our mom. And maybe, we've done it out of, negligence. We won't do it again. So again, never be shy on telling people if they've done anything wrong, because that's the only way they can correct themselves.
Exactly. But they don't like speaking, they're not the way children. Sometimes children, they want their attention, don't they?
Yeah.
For the people. You'll have your children, your sons, daughters, coming to you and say, Dad, Dad, and they won't stop. Sometimes they don't even realize. Similarly, they don't mean some people are very, very old. And now they don't really have much of any socializing. They hardly get to speak to somebody.
Yeah.
Sometimes when they do get to speak to somebody, they wish to share things, to tell them things, to say things, because they've got somebody listening to them. And people are like, Mom, be quiet, we're talking. Or, they speak like this. And this is, and everything else, mashallah, they'll do. They're taking care of them and everything, looking after them. But then they're doing such things, and you think, that's your mom. And the one thing we must remember, my dear viewers, you can never truly understand losing your mother. Some people think they understand. I would say you can never truly understand losing your mother or father unless you've lost them. Only that person could truly understand what it is or how it is to lose a parent. So whilst you have your parents, be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I pray that those who are elderly, Allah ta'ala grant them long and healthy lives.
Inshallah. You know, Shabazi, I know a few families that have taken care of their parents. You know, my own cousin here, mashallah, he passed away last year, and his children, mashallah, and the whole immediate family, for 20 years they took care of him. He was bedbound for the last 10 to 12 years, but they took care of him. He couldn't even see in the last few years in his life as well. And he didn't know what he could hear, but he couldn't see. But the way they looked after him, it was amazing. Alhamdulillah. And then another family, mashallah, who took care of their father as well. And that's how it should be, because Nigrana Shura once mentioned a story that an old man, his own son, he takes him out for a little walk in the garden, and his dad goes, have you got an orange? So he rolls the orange down the hill, and he says to the son, Putar, go and get it. So the son goes down the hill, gets the orange, gives it to the dad, and he rolls it down again. He goes, go and get it. And he did that twice. And the third time he did it, the son got angry. He goes, Dad, what are you doing? Why are you throwing it down and I'm going and picking him up? He goes, Putar, you have only done it 3 times. You did it in the same place 12 times, and I never said a word to you. And I've only done it 3 times when you're getting angry on me. And that's what it is sometimes. I look at it now, especially mothers, and when their children, I don't want to eat this, and they'll be there, trying to use many, many techniques how to make them, eat. And then when these mothers get old and the sons or daughters disrespect them, it really hurts you that so much they've done. So I was talking to a family, they've had a son really late on in their after their marriage. Now when the son's a bit older, they send a message, he's disobedient. And I goes, I can remember you when you were asking for ta'weez, can you give us something? Is there anything that we read that Allah Ta'ala blesses with the son as well? And now you've got a son after so many years, he's being disobedient to you. They were very, very sad, and they said, we're not going to say anything. Allah Ta'ala has given it to us. Inshallah, we're going to take care of him. But like you said, your parents are your world and, everything to you. Your parents are your Jahannam and your Jannat. So if you treat them good, inshallah, it'll be Jannat for you. If you don't treat them good, it'll be Jahannam for you.
Subhanallah, beautiful. I think to end the note on the parents, what we must understand is we must respect, we must honor our parents. And the relationship of a parent is not like any other relationship. It's not a relationship of benefit or loss, where we're looking for, because this is how it is nowadays, isn't it? And in fact, some people, sadly, this is speaking of, mashallah, these people at least are taking care of their parents. There are many people who discard them or send them to an old age home or think, that's it, I've had enough of my mum and dad. Or I don't like to. People have, they don't talk to their mum and dad sometimes.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things, but if he was out there, alhamdulillah, as Muslim, and this is the beauty of Islam, is that the entire society, that's what Islam looks at, caters for.
Alhamdulillah.
Not just individuals or not just a group of people. Everybody on every level. Everybody on every level. So nowadays people are all about work, living life, enjoying themselves. If I have to look up after my parents, how can I enjoy my life?
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah, that's why we are believers and we know that if you're going to look after your parents and sacrifice things, in this world, you're going to be rewarded even more in the Akhirah. So this is the beauty of Islam, is that there's an, you could say, an answer for everything. There's more reward for the more struggles you go through. And this is why it said that this world is a prison for the believers. So my dear viewers, in regards to parents, this is one thing we must understand. That we don't think of, oh, okay, but I need to live my own life. No. We need to think, what does our deen, what does our religion teach us? And this is, inshallah, the path, the way to have the best society and to have perfection.
You know, Allah Ta'ala talks about the parents in the Quran, many ahadiths of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam regarding parents, regarding the father itself, he's the middle door of paradise. Yeah. You know, and your father, you know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was born, his father had already passed away. But, you know, that shows you that even he was born an orphan, but there's so many ahadiths relating to the father. Sometimes we just talk about the mother. Yeah, like for example, the paradise is in the feet, or the doorstep of paradise is in the feet of the mother. But let's not forget the father. He's got many, many, you know, alhamdulillah, rights and benefits.
Yeah, yes, they both possess their own virtues and their own ways.
Alhamdulillah.
Some, for example, our love and affection. Yes, the mother first, then the mother, then the mother, then the father. That's in terms of love and affection. But when it comes to commandments, we go with the father. If the father was to order us to do something, and then the mother something opposite, we go with the father. So they both have their own statuses, their own, and we shouldn't, you know, differentiate between the two. Or take sides or anything.
Especially what happens, by the way, if suddenly, if the mother and father, the relationship breaks up, most likely the children will go towards the mother. Yeah. And then what will happen is them same children will talk bad about their own father.
Yeah.
And in Islam, you're not allowed to do that as well. You know, because he, end of the day, he is still your father, no matter what happens. And if any mothers are doing that, they will be held responsible on the Day of Judgment.
Sadly, what's happening is many mothers, they'll tell their own side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And because generally the mothers, they seem more, well, they will be given more pity, etc. But this should not be done. Remember, if you are to break your relationship, and then you are to try to get your children to come to your side of anything, you're making your own children break their own relationship with their own father. This is something in it. And if you cared about them, if you really loved them, you would never do it.
So indirectly, you're teaching them to go against the commands of Allah. You know, I was speaking to one son, and he was so deadly against his father. Oh, my dad abandoned us. He left us when we were young.
Exactly.
You know, and how did he know all that? It's because mom told us. Yeah, and now when the story came out, you know, it was important that the father had to leave the mother because of her doings. But the mother's not going to tell the children that this is why your father left, because of me he left you. You know, but then when that son grew up and he met with the father, and the father straight away said, look, putar, you sit down and I'll tell you why I left your mom. Yeah, and at the end of the day, you know, as a father, you know, I went to the courts, I did everything, but I could not get custody for you. But this is what my side of the story is. And the children, they realize that. But then look at the father and he says, look, whatever's happened, it was your mom's fault, but you have to stay with your mom and take care of her.
Subhanallah. And this could be either way, by the way. We're not taking one side because some people will say we're being biased. So this could happen either way. Remember, look for both mother, father. But we need to go away from the mother, father. Now, in terms of breaking relationships.
How can we go away from the mother and father?
The topic. Now, coming to breaking a relationship. Which relationship should be broken?
Which relationship should be broken? A relationship that is not for the sake of Allah. Have love for the sake of Allah. Now, if you are, you know, friends with someone because he's minted, he's got money, he's got a status, is famous, or he knows anyone famous, then that is not for the sake of Allah. That's for the sake of your nafs, your own pleasure. When you're doing it for the sake of Allah, then you will, if that person says anything to you, you know, you'll take that on board and you'll take it as a lesson, and you'll never break that relationship. So if you've got any friends, the easy way to judge it, are they teaching you about the deen, or are they teaching you against the deen? If they're teaching you against the deen, like for example, yeah, forget namaz, to Maulvi Bani Ja saying, oh, this happened, let's go and chill out. That will just show you straight away that they're taking you away from the deen. And as a Muslim, you need to break that relationship before they take you further away into sin.
Subhanallah, this could be it could be najaiz if it's a relationship. It could be najaiz relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be even with a female sometimes.
Is this happening a lot, Shabazz? But the thing is, how we should love and respect our wives the way Islam commanded us. And sadly, one of the things, and I like is, I'm saying this, I'm not being biased, but there are so many men, ma'azallah, who are cheating their own families. Yes. And they're breaking that relationship with their own halal partner. And ma'azallah, doing, relationships with their haram partner. So again, that is having such a big effect on our community. Our children are being affected.
So there's two ways of looking at this. One, people who are already married.
Mm-hmm.
And one, those people who are not married. And they have, let's just say, for example, girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Or boyfriends, both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, it is happening both ways. Sometimes people think it's not happening both ways, but yes, it is happening both ways. And Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, if you wish to destroy a society, then make fornication a norm within that society.
Mm.
That's what he states. Because it's true, it does truly break up a society. And nowadays, living in this liberal, so-called liberal world, what happens, the importance of relationships has finished, hasn't it?
Yeah.
This marriage had a sacredity to it. There was some sort of sacredness to marriage. There was, marriage is an oath. That no longer matters anymore. And because that no longer matters, now that, faithfulness, everything is slowly being lost.
Yeah.
And with that being lost, what's happening with society? Society is being lost too. There's no such thing as friendship anymore. It's all friends, and those friends who will, by means of whom you can gain some sort of benefit.
I was reading an article, and in the article it mentioned that this is a survey that's been done, and it's in that survey it said that where there is a family with a single parent, most likely the child will not get a good upbringing, and hence he will become a menace for the whole community.
Society.
And you see that today. I'm not blaming anyone. And this is not a blame on the mothers or a blame on the fathers. It's a reality that we see today. Those parents who are single parents, it could be the mother, it could be the father. Their children, because they're missing one side of the upbringing. For example, if you're living with your mother, you're missing that side of your father. And if you are with your father and you're missing the side of your mother, then that's going to be really, really...
So look at this too. Look, Islam always has a solution, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So even if the parents were to break up, so nowadays the system is maybe one, most of the time if they're fighting, and this is what happens many times, they're fighting between each other and one wishes to take full custody. Okay, so now the way you put it, the child will go with one parent. It may be the father, it may be the mother, but it's only the one.
Mm.
Now, Islam, alhamdulillah, that's what I mean. This is the beauty of Islam, Hafsa.
Alhamdulillah.
That Islam will tell us that in number of years, depending on whether it's a boy or girl, this number of years, these first few years, it needs to spend with the mother. Then this number of years, it needs to spend with the father. Why? Because these qualities a child needs to take from the mother. And there's other qualities which a mother cannot give.
Yeah.
It's within the reality. And nowadays, there's a debate about the reality of people too. But a mother, a lady, a woman, being a mother, there are things she can give to the child that the father can never possibly give. And if the child's always to be with the father, then he will be missing out on these.
Yeah.
And if a person must only be with the mother, then there are so many things which she can't give that the father can give. And this is within the nature of human beings.
Mothers are more, our mothers are soft-hearted. Yeah?
Yes.
Mothers are mothers, as they say. You have good cop, bad cop. Yeah. If your son does something wrong or your daughter does something wrong, normally mothers say, let your dad come back and I'll tell him what you've done. And oh, please don't tell dad. Why? Because they're scared of that. Not because they're scared that dad's going to do something stupid, but they have that respect because he's the father figure. Yeah. So if you don't have that father figure at home, some of the, single parents that, they were mentioned in that report, it says that they were struggling because of that, because they are soft-hearted. And there was a story about a child. And, the father, his own mother passed away and his father got married again. And the one day the father asked him, son, your new mother, how is she compared to the other mother? He goes, oh, my old mother, she used to lie a lot. But this mother, she doesn't lie. And he goes, how? He goes, when my mother used to say to me that if you do be naughty, I'm not going to give you anything to eat. And then later on, she'll give me something to eat. But this mother, when she says that, she never gives me anything to eat. So my first mother was a liar. So basically, he was a little child, wasn't he? So mothers are mothers. But
you got to raise that child for thinking like that. Because other children will never think that. Yeah. Oh, you told me, you're not going to give me, you're still giving me.
And you know, when you do see some children, you know, whose mothers have passed away or fathers have passed away, you can see that, you know, they've had a very hard upbringing. But alhamdulillah, like I said, this is not attacking anyone. It's just a reality that we see in our community
today. Yes, Hafsa, coming back to the breaking of the relationship. Somebody has a girlfriend. What do they do?
See, having a girlfriend in Islam is haram. Straightforward haram. There's no ifs or buts or going to be around the bush and say, yeah, yes. It's haram, totally haram in Islam. But where does this concept of having a girlfriend come from? You know, because like you said, we do live in a liberal society where people think it's macho to have a girlfriend with you. And because they see these kind of things, you know, the drug lords and all these films that they see and all these guys, they go girlfriends with them. So people think that's normal. You know, if you want to be macho and you want to be strong, or you want to have your own turf, as they say. You know what turf is?
It could just be, yes, I know what turf is. But it could just be general too, many people.
But again, people think that it's tough. You know, it's macho to have a girlfriend. Alaka, it's haram in Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, there's a hadith part where there's a man and a woman, the third is the shaitan. Yeah. So if that woman is not your wife, not your sister, not your mother, then the third is going to be there is the shaitan. You know, you're not even allowed to work in a place where there are men and women working alone. Yeah, if for example, if you're working in an office, you know, there are certain boundaries that you've got to follow Sharia. But people who have girlfriends, it's just ma'azallah, they need to do tawbah. I met with a young lad a few days ago, and he came to me and he was honest and he goes, look, I did have a girlfriend, but I've just realized that I'm wrong.
Mashallah.
And he goes, alhamdulillah, I did tawbah, and he comes to the masjid 5 times a day, mashallah.
Allah, what's the solution of that? What can we do?
Educate the children. Education is the most important thing. Yeah. We need to educate. Again, that's not only the parents' duty, but our children go to the madrasa. So the madrasa needs to educate the children as well. If they go to school, you know, obviously they're not going to educate them in that way. They're going to educate them, it's good, it's fun, go and have girlfriends, yeah? But in Islam, we're not supposed to do that. So parents should be playing their role. Madrasa teachers should be playing their roles. Imam of the masjid, you know, should be playing their roles as well. And you know, that's how when we play all our roles, we might get a good society. Or else, as things are, you know, no one, if we say, is playing their roles as they should do, we're gonna, you know, see a lot of this. And breaking relationship, you know, the topic is, you know, like we mentioned, how, why to and why not to. It's one of the major sins in Islam, breaking relationship. You know, especially with your own closer. You know, you mentioned the Zawil Qurba and the Zawil Arham. Breaking relationship with them, you know, read about that.
It's close family, very friend to you.
Close relationship. It's like it's haram to break relationship with these people, but people don't care. We've got more friends. Yeah, someone told me I've got 5,000 friends on Facebook. Yeah, how many real friends have you got? If someone happens to you, they're gonna come to you. Not many. Your Eid finishes at 11 o'clock. Why at 10 o'clock you Eid namaz? You might just come back home, have someone to eat, one or two houses, and then your Eid's finished. Why? It's because the most of your relatives, you don't talk to them. Our nowadays, we go to work in the morning, we come back home, turn the TV on, and all we do is just sit there. There's thousands, you know, I'm exaggerating there. You know, you might have dozens of family members. Have you ever been to their home? The only time we visit them is when something happens, or when, you know, it's a wedding or something like that. You should go to them every day.
SubhanAllah, somebody views those people who are our relatives, we must be close to them. We must sometimes visit. If they need help, we must. It's necessary, in fact. We could, depending on the situation, we could be a sinner if we don't help. This is how important it is to maintain relationships. And it is haram to, mazallah, cut them off. But when it comes to those relationships which are not permissible, then it is necessary for us to break those relationships. For example, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever. This is it's just one example. And there are many more medievals, those which are not permissible, those which are not allowed in Islam, which are prohibited. We must break those. And if we don't, we are just committing sin. Get married. Alhamdulillah, again, as I say, the beauty, Islam has a solution for everything, honestly. Because Islam allows such relationships, but within marriage.
We're not getting the proper marriage, you know, for our children as well. You know, why would I get married out of my Chaudhary caste? You know, am I going to cut my nose? Am I
good,
Raja?
Good question.
I
Let's move
married.
To the daily hadithi, yeah. And then you can answer that, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created humans and He divided them into males and females. And He revealed ahkamat to every Prophet alayhi salam and even to the final Prophet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now from those ahkamat is that there are certain members of each gender that a person has to keep a distance from, meaning he cannot speak freely with them, he cannot intermingle with them, he can only speak to them if there is a need. Now these are famous categories, maharim, ghair maharim. And we should all learn about who are our maharim, those who we can freely conversate with, sit with, discuss things with, look at, and who are our ghair maharim. Now today, the society and the time we live in, Allahu Akbar, so many things are going on, ma'azallah, where people are speaking freely, openly, even offensively in an unlawful, lewd way to people of the other gender. This is something that we should be mindful of. The Prophet ﷺ once mentioned that zina is of many types, fornication. You could have fornication of the hands, and that is to touch something which is forbidden, ana mahram. Zina of the tongue is to speak in that wrong manner. Zina of the eyes is to look at someone unlawfully. So these are things that we have to take into consideration, and we can't just say everyone's doing it and it's all taking place and we join the bandwagon. No. As a Muslim, there are rules that we have to adhere to, and it is these rules that we adhere to and follow that will lead us to the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and inshallah paradise as well. So be very careful, learn Islamic knowledge, and inshallah implement it in your lives as well.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. We've only got a few minutes left, but you did raise a question. What was the question that you could give that?
Well, what I did was, we did a bayan, it was called marriage material, yeah? And in that, you know, I did a bit of research, and that research was not just going on the internet. I was asking a few parents, you know, some of the truth, yeah? Would you get your children married outside your caste? And they said, not really, no. You know, it's like, so a Chaudhary, you know, will not get married outside out of his caste. I asked a few Raja brethren.
What's the difference with Chaudhary,
Raja? These are just castes, aren't they? They have castes, aren't they? But at this moment in time, our children are ready to get married, but we're not getting them married because they're not the right caste. They're not the same caste as us.
Hmm.
Yeah? And that is what is happening today, and our children are being delayed in getting married. Hmm. And the Buzurg, the Ulama, they say that if you delay your children in getting married and they commit a sin, you're going to be part of that sin as well because you're delaying their marriage.
Allah.
You know, na karne hai na, wo raje no, chaudhri no, malak no, ye no, ye khuda ne bande, get out of that. As long as they're Muslim and they're Sunni, don't look at anything else.
Yes, this is something we must look at when it comes to marriage, that is relationships. Being Muslim, alhamdulillah, and having the correct creed of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and really people do need to, marriage is one of those things which are decreasing so much. And those people who are getting married, this is why we can't build relationships.
Yeah.
Many people are not able to live with somebody else. This is one of the reasons why there are so many divorces, because we're not used to having this socializing. We're so used to socializing on our phones, and this is how we got into, you know, possibly got to know the person, and we've got married to the person. When we're living together, it can't work. We're not used to socializing, to spending time with people, are we?
Yeah.
We've never built or experienced relationships. The entire world is changing. The people, we are changing, my dear. And if we do have this community, this Islamic one, We're going to the masjid, we're meeting people, we're regularly going and meeting with our family members, etc. Then this socializing, this is the correct socializing. Not going to clubs and etc, etc, Madhavius. No. This is the correct socializing, and this is one way of being able to even build.
And you know what happens, Shabazz? You know, a few years ago, yeah, if anything happened in our family, our relatives, yeah, anything, we'll, apart from death, yeah, then everyone gets together. But we're seeing if someone gets ill at the time. Nowadays, we find out when that person gets better. You know, he's been in hospital for 2 weeks, yeah. He was between life and death, and when he comes back home, huh? Were you in hospital? I didn't even realize that. You know, it's why we didn't realize it, because there's no communication there.
Indeed.
Yeah. Or we find out, hey, how long was he been in hospital for? Oh, he's passed away, Allahu Akbar. He's my relative. Have a timetable of your life. Everyone is saying that they're busy. They're not busy. People come back from work at 6, 7 o'clock.
Priorities, you know? Isn't it?
Yeah. So you come back, alhamdulillah, what I've done is every week I visit my relatives. You know, alhamdulillah, my pupis, my masis, my chacha, my brothers or sisters, and friends as well. I make sure that I go to that. That's how, alhamdulillah, you build
relationships. I can't remember the last time you came to my house.
Ji?
I can't remember the last time you came to my house.
I dressed you. I'll be there tomorrow. You might be surprised.
Inshallah.
Where there's he, there's I.
Hafiz Sahab, mashallah. My viewers on the Madani channel, we've only got a few minutes left. Yes, there are some relationships we must maintain. First come the parents, my viewers, brothers, sisters, aunties, grandparents, uncles, etc. We must maintain ties with such people. We must visit them regularly. I used to try to every single week. Ever since COVID, which has been a problem, since then I've stopped going. And yes, we all have our own reasons, but we should somehow be in
contact. You know, my children, alhamdulillah, I will ask them, have you seen your grandma and granddad? If you haven't, why? Go and see them. So alhamdulillah, they do go, I say, you know, with their mom and their, you know. But if they haven't, I'll make sure that they go and see them.
Oh, alhamdulillah. So many viewers on the channel, we should maintain ties with relatives. And there are those people who we should not be communicating, spending time with people who will lead us towards sin, people who are keeping us away from the correct sunnah, the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should refrain from such people. So breaking relationships, some relationships need to be broken, some relationships we need to maintain. Both should be considered. Also, we've got one more minute. Any last message?
I think some relationships should be mended as well. If there's anything, yes. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam famously said, the one who denies you, give it to him. Mm. Yeah. So now our relationships, for example, someone's not invited you to their son or daughter's birthday party or the wedding or any other, you know, occasions at home. Now that doesn't mean that, okay, he hasn't invited us, we're going to make sure that we don't invite him as well. Now what we need to do is we need to invite them just so that we can have this relationship.
I have to have a quick question.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to have a small marriage, there's so many people they're not inviting, who they would possibly invite these guys,
yeah.
They would be offended if they're not invited. What could a person do?
Again, if you're, alhamdulillah, there was a person, you know, sometimes people come up and they say these kind of things. Don't you? Hey, has he not called you to the wedding?
Yeah.
No, it's not. That's his right. Maybe there's so many reasons why he hasn't invited me or my family or my cousins. Yeah, so they want to have a small marriage, fine. Be happy with that. But still, I went there and I said, MashaAllah, Mubarak on your son's wedding. And they go, oh, Hafsa, I goes, look, you don't need to explain anything. Mm-hmm. You know, dosti khatam. I didn't say that. I said that, look, there's no reason for you to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's your choice. And alhamdulillah, I respect your choice.
SubhanAllah, perfect.
No, dil barako.
Ji, alhamdulillah. And people be in their own situations, honestly. So many people, they have their own problems. Everybody has their own problems, don't they? We shouldn't judge people. We should, in fact, just continue to maintain ties or even mend ties sometimes and not break ties, my dear viewers. That's all for today. So much about ties. Inshallah, we shall be returning for more rise and shine. For now, continue to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end.